Now, have you ever been in a situation where a call goes out for a first aider? Or perhaps you're a carer for someone and you would just like to learn some first aid, but because of sight loss, you've thought that you might not be eligible to train. Well, you might want to think again. I'm joined now by Claire Potter. Hello.
Hi.
You're a very interesting lady because you have done this very thing, haven't you? You are registered blind and you have qualified as a first aider.
Correct, yeah. Not very long, but yeah.
Yeah, so what actually drew you into wanting to attempt this?
Well, doing first aid is something which I've wanted to do for quite a number of years now, because I'm actually a student, a health and social care student, with the intention of becoming a holistic therapist, where you're not really needed to know first aid, but if you do, then it's even better. So obviously, me being a student in health and social care, obviously, I've had, you know, people around me, you know, sighted peers who have maybe, you know, gone to things like first aid classes, and they've obviously had the knowledge. So obviously, being around people like that was something where I thought, well, I want to be able to do this. Why can't I do it? Because, you know, I think first aid is something which a lot of people maybe have if they're maybe working in something like healthcare or maybe a nurse or whatever, but if it's just a general thing, you know, people don't really realise the value of it and how useful it can actually be. So as soon as I found out about the fact that actually first aid is something which, you know, a lot of people do actually use, and, you know, the value of it and how useful it can actually be in different situations, I thought, right, I need to have a look at this because I want to be able to do this. I want to be able to, you know, save lives. I want to be able to have an extra skill. So why can't I do it? At the same time, I think I faced a lot of people, you know, different opinions, because a lot of people did say to me, well, you know, you wouldn't be able to see, you know, somebody, you know, if they've collapsed, or you wouldn't be able to see if they're bleeding, or you wouldn't be able to see if they've got, you know, any sort of injury, really. So how are you going to do it? And I thought, there must be a way. You know, there must be some sort of a way of doing this. So I basically went on a hunt to find a way of doing first aid and getting a proper certificate.
So did you actually find it quite difficult to get a course that could see by your sight loss and that was actually quite happy to train you?
Oh, it was extremely difficult. I have to say, I've faced a lot of barriers in the past. In the 18 years of being totally blind, I faced a lot of barriers, but I think this one was, you know, it was one of the biggest ones, really. I think it was really, really difficult to actually find somebody who would understand that actually I wanted to do this, because I tried a lot of mainstream organisations. So a lot of organisations like the Red Cross or St John's Ambulance do offer first aid training, and they claim to offer it to anybody. Now, the problem that I faced was that when I had the contact details for them, when I got in touch, I would say, you know, I'm totally blind, but I'd really like to do a course. You know, would you be willing to train me? And the thing that I also mentioned was that because I don't have access to a support worker outside of school times, if that makes sense. And obviously, first aid being an out of school activity, it's not something where you can find support workers to help you with that easily, really. And a lot of people that got back to me would say, well, you know, we don't have enough people, or, you know, you need a support worker, or, yeah, you know, if you want to come to a course, then that's fine. You know, we can put you on a general knowledge course where there's less people so you can have more attention. But then, of course, that would mean that you wouldn't have as much, you know, you wouldn't have as much to really take away, because you maybe get a certificate of attendance, but you wouldn't get an actual certificate to put on your CV. And I thought, right, this is not good enough, really. And I have to say, it took about 6 months. You know, all that time, you know, it took a lot of determination, really. And it took a lot of actually, you know, getting through to people. And I tried really, really hard to say, look, you know, I really, really want to do this. You know, you don't have to, you know, physically babysit me. It's just about, you know, just sending me the work in the right formats, for example. So if there was a booklet, you know, just make sure that there's you know, it's a Word format, for example, so I can read it easier and I can open it. Or, you know, just make sure that if the tutor's doing something at the front, then, you know, they describe what they're doing. No, they wouldn't take it. And it got to about November last year where I thought, look, where am I going with this? Because I actually set myself a goal to say by January 2018, I want to have become a qualified first aider. I just thought I'd challenge myself, really. And I got to a point where I thought, oh, do you know, there's just no chance now. There's just no hope whatsoever. There's no, I've got no chance. I'll never be able to do this. And I basically remember seeing a status on Facebook that a totally blind friend had put up. It was back in August last year at some point, but at the time I just sort of ignored it. You know, it took my interest, but she basically said that she had passed the course and she was totally blind. And I thought, wait a minute, what's this all about? So I remember when it was about November last year, I remember that status and I thought, do you know, where did she do that? And I thought, well, let's get in touch with R&IB then. Maybe they'll be able to tell me. So I got in touch with R&IB Connect, who asked me some questions and they tried to look, they couldn't find anything. And then they basically got my local connector to get back in touch with me. It took a few days and I kind of got to a point where I thought, no, they'll never get back to me because there's maybe nothing that I could do. And she gave me the email address to a person called Alan North, who was actually visually impaired himself. And he actually delivers first aid training. And I thought, oh my goodness, is this really, you know, is it happening? I kind of thought that I was in a bit of a dream. And I was kind of shocked and I was like, oh my God, thank you very much. You know, I'm going to get in touch with him right now. And that night I did, and it was the best thing that I ever did.
I've spoken to Alan because he's registered blind. He's a swimming instructor and a first aider and many things. But he was saying in some ways that training a visually impaired person, it's more of a hands-on experience. Tell us a little bit about the training, just a little bit about the difference between doing it sighted and non-sighted.
Well, I don't know what it's like when you do it, you know, when you do a first aid course sighted, because I never actually, you know, got to observe one or anything like that. But when I did mine, I mean, normally it's a course where you need about 12 people, I would say. So obviously it's quite a big group and it takes a bit longer, but we weren't able to find 12 people. And we wanted to get it done quite quickly, really, so that I could get my certificate and obviously, you know, move on with my next part of my course, really. So I actually did it on a one-to-one with Alan, which was, it was really good. I have to say it took 4 hours and I've never, you know, been to a course where you can actually cover so much in 4 hours and actually, you know, retain that information. A lot of the training was hands-on, and I can totally understand why Alan is saying that. I think, you know, he had a really good understanding of how I would maybe need to adapt to the different barriers that I would face. A lot of it covered things like how you would communicate with those around you, or how you would maybe, you know, ask questions to make sure that if there's somebody around you, you know, they can help you as well, because there are certain things where you do need other people to help and step in, but also about some of the things that I would be able to do. So a lot of things like, for example, a primary survey and a secondary survey are the things that you do when you first encounter a casualty. So when you first come across somebody, that's the two things that you do. And it's where you do an examination of the person's body, for example, and you just make sure that you find out as much as you can about what could have caused them the injury, if that makes sense. So the way that was done was he demonstrated it on me first, so I was able to fully understand how that worked. And then he got me to basically do the survey, but where he would be the patient, the casualty. So I got to sort of, you know, have a go at birth. And then a lot of it was done on mannequins as well. So, you know, things like CPR, things like bandaging, things like, you know, doing some of the movements that you'd normally do on a body. Because there are certain things that you can do on a conscious person, but some things you just can't do unless the person's actually unconscious. So that's where the mannequin comes in, really.
Alan really could empathise, couldn't he, with some of the challenges? And I mean, he doesn't feel
absolutely.
He doesn't feel there's any reason why somebody with a visual impairment can't do this. So you must feel a great sense of empowerment now, then, that you've actually achieved this.
I really do, honestly. I still kind of, ask myself, now and again, did it actually happen? Because it almost feels as if, it's just a bit of a dream where, you've just been thinking about it for such a long time that you almost think, well, did it actually happen? Was it actually a real thing? Because, when you keep being told no all the time and you're constantly just told that you can't do it, you won't do it, we can't help you or whatever, then you almost start to question yourself, well, can I actually do this? Then of course, when it happens, you almost start to think that actually it wasn't real. But I feel so proud of myself. Not to be, big-headed or anything like that, but I do really, really feel proud of myself because, it's something that I wanted to do. I managed to, prove people wrong. I've managed to show people that, determination is really the right thing to have.
It shows you, doesn't it? You get fed up with people telling you what you can and can't do. So I think
Exactly.
the moral of this story is that as visually impaired people, we have to persevere sometimes and basically educate people.
Yeah, the thing that I always say to people, especially now after doing the course, because it's given me such a big boost, it's given me such a big confidence boost, to actually have a go. And the thing that I always say to people is, do not be afraid to speak up, no matter what. Even if people disagree with you, it's your opinion, it's your life. You're the one that's in charge of what happens. You are the one that knows what you can and can't do. The only person that knows your limits is yourself. Don't let other people tell you what you can and can't do.
Claire Potter, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. But before you go, if I was to ask you for one piece of advice for somebody wanting to follow in your footsteps, what would it be?
Just go for it. Just do it. Ask questions if you need to ask questions, and just make sure that you just know what you're doing. So just ask questions and go for it.
Claire Potter, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.